You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome to Fort McMurray Matters.
Keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome to another edition of Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Steph Seidel. On the line, I have George McGuigan, the superintendent for the FMCSD. Hello, Mr. McGuigan.
Hi, Steph. How are you today?
I am doing well, thank you. The province announced a new budget last week. What does that mean for the FMCSD?
Well, in any year, as per normal, the provincial government brings down its budget around this time of the year and to help us prepare for the next school year. So given the COVID situation and where they are, this upcoming budget is really kind of a status quo type of budget. We're not expecting any major changes to it, which I think is good news for us. It will help us pretty well understand that the coin we receive for this current school year is the same amount of coin we're going to see next year. We still are waiting, however, till the end of March until we get the details of the budget and the different envelopes of where the money is going to be spent, etc. So, but overall, I think we're in good shape. But we always say, the devil's in the details. So we'll have to wait till the end of March. We're already busy preparing our work for next year, developing our priorities, and once we see the details of the budget around the end of March, then we'll assign the dollars that we receive from the government to our priorities, because it's not the money that drives the priorities, it's the priorities that will drive the money. So we're in good shape that way. We'll be in a good position to continue to look after the children and the families in this community and continue to be strong advocates for Catholic education for our families. And we look forward to serving our parents, our students, and our staff the remainder of this current school year. And we really look forward to a more normalized school year come September, certainly as everybody in this community, I'm sure, is looking forward to.
For sure. And good news, perhaps, yesterday coming out about maybe everybody being able to get the vaccine sooner for that 80% immunity kind of thing.
Yes, that's right. I think that's going to help everybody for sure to get that first vaccination in. I think that's good. That's good movement. And we just got to stay the course, right?
For sure. And as far as staffing goes for the new budget, you said you were expecting the budget to be status quo. Does that mean that everybody that kind of works with the FMCSD is probably going to be able to continue doing that for next school year?
Yes. We're not expecting any significant changes at all in our staffing. We just look at the number of students we have in the division and across schools, and we staff appropriately, and we make sure, number one, that we have the appropriate people in the appropriate positions to make sure we're looking after the children.
For sure. As far as early learning programs go, have you opened registration for that now, or?
Yes, our registration is now out on our social media sites, and so we're looking forward to welcoming our newest little ones to the Fort McMurray Catholic School Division family next year. We did share already a division question and answer video came out last night, I think two nights ago, answer some of the most common questions that our parents have, and any child in the community that was born in 2017 will be eligible to enter our early entry program come September. So we have just a tremendous group of specialists we have in our division, and the educational assistants that work in those programs are just exceptional people. We know for in our research, probably one of the single most important things we do for children is making sure that they get an early start to learning and a very targeted approach to making sure that the students are being successful at a young age. And any students that are having difficulty, we focus right in on them and to fill some of those gaps that may be existing with them. So those issues and things get taken care of, and then they remain successful through their entire school career up to when they graduate from high school in, I think it'll be 2037, I think, for this new group.
Oh, my goodness. Wow, that's really, I hope, goes slowly.
I won't be here then.
Hopefully you'll be retired on a beach somewhere, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So for the early learning programs, do students have to go to that before they kind of go into kindergarten, or is this an optional program?
No, it's an optional program. Certainly parents decide for themselves, and I think a good example of that, I think, is in this current year because of COVID. We did have an enrollment drop of about 2% this current school year, and most of it was in the early learning program where parents decided to keep their children home for a variety of reasons, obviously, just because of their uneasiness with putting their children in school. But we expect that to change come September. By and large, a vast majority of our parents will choose the early entry program, really, for kind of things I highlighted just a minute ago. They like to see their children in school. It's a really great opportunity for the little ones to kind of get a sense of what school is like. And it's really a play-based therapy, but very, very academic in the sense that building literacy skills and getting them accustomed to being and socializing with other people. So it's pretty important, but it is optional for them. There's no requirement that they have to, but our programs are very, very successful, and I think that word of mouth is across the community, so our enrollment is usually very, very good and very strong in those areas.
And do all of the elementary Catholic schools have the early learning programs in each school?
Yes, every one of our Catholic schools have early entry programs.
And how does one register for it?
You can contact the school that you have. You can check our website. All the information is on our website, and be following us on social media. Everything is there, and you'll see the videos and the links and everything are there. And if there's a particular school that a parent is in lots of cases, there'll be siblings that are already in an individual school. So just simply call the school and speak with them there, and they'll take you through the process and get everything registered and ready to go, and look forward to welcoming them.
Great. Anything else to add about early learning programs?
No, I don't think so. I think, like I said, I think at the outset, they're important, very important piece to our family, welcoming our newest and youngest little ones to us, and making sure that they have a great start to their educational careers and follow them through, like I said, until the time they graduate from us.
In 2037.
Yeah, right.
We're going to take our first break here on Fort McMurray Matters. But when we come back, we're going to be hearing more from Superintendent George McGuigan with the FMCSD.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics. On Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics. On Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Steph Seidel. On the line, I have George McGuigan, the superintendent with the FMCSD. Thank you so much for joining me today, George. We've been chatting about the budget, the new provincial budget for next year, as well as early learning programs. Let's move on to how things are going with COVID-19 in the Catholic School Board.
Well, Steph, knock on wood, since we've returned after Christmas time, since January, things have been going very well for us. So we had a couple of COVID close contact cases, community spread in our schools, but by and large, it's been extremely quiet. And so we're very pleased with that. Our schools have not wavered in one little bit with all the protocols that we're doing in the school as far as keeping the school clean, reviewing protocols on an ongoing basis with our students for wearing masks and social distancing and things. So we're keeping up developing the great habits in our schools, and our schools really and truly are safe places to be. But we all know that our schools certainly are a reflection of the community, and I mean, one has to be extremely proud of the people in this community right now when you look at the work that that everyone has done in following the protocols and working hard to decrease and limit and the number of cases that we have in our community. I mean, you look at where we were at 250 or something, I forget it, not too long ago, and we're down now to, what, 33 cases?
Yep. Yep.
We really have to congratulate everyone in this community of ours. It's such a great place to be, and, I mean, as I've said before, we are showing the rest of the province what we're capable of and who we are. When you look at all the things that we've gone through in the last 5 years here in Fort McMurray with the fire, the flood, COVID, slumping economy, and here we are still standing and leading the way and showing everybody else that we put our mind to something up here and we're able to be successful. So it's a real tip of the hat to everybody who lives up here, and it's such a wonderful place to live, and been here now for coming on 40 years, and I wouldn't have it any other way. So I want to thank the community for their efforts, because when we do what we're doing in the community, our schools are safe, and we can continue instruction and have our children and students in school, because that's the best place for them to be.
For sure. And speaking of in-school learning, as we move forward with the new plan of the vaccine coming out, maybe for everyone over 18 in early summer, are teachers on the list to get the vaccine sooner?
Not at this point in time, we have not heard anything related to that, of where we are in the queue. I think they're working their way backwards from the elderly and the long-term care facilities and those workers and hospitals and things and coming back. So I know there's ongoing conversations with the Alberta Teachers Association and the government. But as we get the fact that now we've got many opportunities for vaccinations and coming through, I think we should be able to, by the summer, be in pretty good shape as far as people in the school division and the staff in the schools. But I guess that remains to be seen. But hopefully at some point in the near future, we'll be able to get those vaccinations in the hands of our staff. So we'll keep good thoughts and make sure that the most vulnerable people get it first, because I think that's definitely a priority first.
Mm-hmm. Now, speaking back to, you know, you've had very few cases that are close contacts in a classroom, but what does happen when there is a case in a classroom?
Sure. What usually happens, and very thankful to our parents, if there's a child or maybe at home and was a close contact and received a positive test, our parents have been exceptional to us, and they phone the schools right away and let us know. And then right away, then we're able to pull all the close contacts, the classes that the student is in. We notify all the parents, send the students home, and with the quarantine period that they're required to do with all the information. And then we wait for Alberta Health Services to contact myself, and they have a spreadsheet then that we have to fill out and submit to them. We don't wait for AHS to contact us because they're pretty busy, and sometimes they can't get to us till 2 or 3 days after we're notified. So really for us, we believe we've got a moral obligation to act as soon as we know that the information, and we trust our parents that the information they're giving us is credible for sure. Mm-hmm. So we act right away, and by doing so, we're limiting any kind of spread in the schools that may come as a result of that happening. But, and again, that's a community spread. It's not an in-school spread type of situation. So we're very quick to respond, and I think that served us extraordinarily well, really. And I have to thank our parents for their support and what they do to contact us right away. And following the protocols themselves at home, you know, if their child is sick, keeping their child home and making sure they don't come to school unless they are feeling well. So that's been our process all along. It's worked extremely well for us, and we have a great partnership with AHS, and they're doing quite well considering. And the speed with which they're getting to us now is getting quicker and quicker. So we're pretty pleased with that, and the partnership is working extremely well, like I said.
Perfect. Glad to hear it. Thanks for sharing all that info. Do you have anything else you'd like to add on schools and COVID-19?
No, just keep up the great work, community. We're moving in the right direction. It's not a time now to get lackadaisical. Let's keep pushing forward and keep following what we need to do to make sure that we can erase this from our community.
Thanks for that word of encouragement. My guest this morning is Superintendent George McGuigan with the FMCSD. We're going to take our last break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but when we come back, we're going to be hearing about mental health supports in the schools during this unprecedented time.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Steph Seidel. On the line, I have Superintendent George McGuigan with the FMCSD. George, thanks for joining me. We're going to be talking now about mental health supports within the FMCSD. How are things going a year on into this pandemic for mental health in your schools?
Pretty good considering, you know, Steph, the whole area of mental health and mental health supports is something that our school division has been focusing on for a number of years. I think you have to back it up to the time of the fire and back in 2016 and maybe a little before that. People were 5 years removed from that now, but the after effects of that are still there. And what people sometimes don't seem to forget is that our economy wasn't great at the time either. And so the fire kind of became the last straw for us. So we've been working very strong on our mental health with our children, with our staff, because lots of people are out of work, families were struggling. And so we've been had a great partnership, and we're very thankful for the Red Cross for the additional funding that they provided the schools in both school divisions, actually, in the community, which is great. So we could have mental health supports in the schools. We hired additional counselors in all our schools. We get full-time counselors. We have mental health therapists. We have division psychologists who put on webinars and work with the families, work with the children, and work with our staff too. I mean, mental health is something that's very important right across the country, right across our division certainly, and our young people are pretty critical to us. And we need to make sure if their mental health is not where it needs to be, nothing else is going to go right for them. So we have those things in place, and I think that's something it's not going to go away just because of a fire and a flood and COVID and in economy situations. We're still going to have to continue to deal with mental health of our youth just because it's an ongoing issue, I think, that's really being brought to light more and more each year. So we're pretty pleased with what we've been doing. But that'll be a never-ending journey that we have to stay on to make sure our children are safe and looked after.
For sure. And I think it's wonderful, too, that, you know, the stigma is ending around it and we're learning more and more about how to support, which is so helpful. And then children themselves are learning how to understand mental health and move forward with that and see when they're not doing well and can reach out for help because it's there, right?
Yeah, that's an excellent point, Steph. It comes down to really education and letting our students, our children know, and our staff know that stigma that used to be around mental health is kind of going away, and people, and we're teaching our students in the schools how to speak about mental health, and that it's okay to be talking to somebody. In fact, it's a very positive thing to do. So I think you hit the nail on the head when you talk about that. The more that we can bring mental health issues to light, not just in our community, but across the province and across the country, that takes the stigma away, and it really helps us create a more positive outlook on dealing with those situations as they happen. And healthy children will grow to be healthy adults, and I think that's a critical component, certainly.
For sure. And then the FMCSD Saints football program, they're doing some stuff with mental health as well, right?
Yes, what a great thing that they've done under Coach Kevin Garbullo, a teacher at Father Mercury High School, and his in our Fort McMurray Catholic School Division Saints football team. Has been working just tirelessly this year, really. No program for them this year, unfortunately, because of COVID, but they're doing exceptional work, staying connected with their players, and reaching out to the athletes and staff and students across the division, and hosting now three sessions on growing our growth mindset. They received a grant to put this together, and they're doing their part through the eyes of our students and teenagers, our young people, showing their resiliency and really showing what our youth are capable of and how they can lead the way and show others, the adults, that they have got some pretty good ideas and they're strong and we need to learn from them. It's not always the adults teaching the youth. The youth have a lot to teach us, and we need to make sure we're listening and paying attention to what they're doing. They're being very strong ambassadors for our community and for their peers. So we're very, very, very pleased with what they're doing.
Yeah, that is really awesome. And where can someone find more information about that?
You can certainly check it on our website, our Fort Murray Catholic School District website, and certainly on our social media sites. I saw some of the tweets and things on it last evening, and on our Facebook page, etc. So these things are just coming up now, and they'll continue. And the whole mental health piece for not just our athletes, but our students in general, all our after-school clubs and everything that's been missing this year, that has a very tough impact on the mental health of our youth. I mean, we're social beings. We're called to live in community and be with people and be together, and COVID has taken that away from us. And so that's a tough pill to swallow. So that's why these activities and things we're doing become pretty critical elements to improving the mental health for everybody.
For sure. That's amazing. Is there anything else you'd like to add around anything containing the FMCSD?
No, just other I'd like to reiterate again. It's March. We're almost at spring. It's coming. The weather's nice right now, so we're looking forward to the snow going and the sun in the sky. And everybody stay positive. We can see the light at the end of the tunnel, but let's not get complacent. Let's stay the course, and we'll be in much better shape come September. And we look forward to serving our children and families through to the end of this school year.
Great note to end on. My guest this morning, George McWiggin, the superintendent of the FMCSD. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Perfect. Thank you, Steph. It's always great to speak with you folks, and we appreciate the opportunity, as always.
You are so welcome. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today here on Fort McMurray Matters. But if you missed it or you want to hear more, you can head to our website, mix1037fm.com, and check out our podcast. A fresh episode of Fort McMurray Matters airs every weekday at noon, so we'll chat with you then tomorrow. I'm Steph Seidel.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this episode or any past episode? Download the podcast at mix1037fm.com.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.